Shalom, a blessed and joyous Sunday celebration to all God's people in the Fettes Park Baptist Church and everywhere of those who are joining in. I want to say in Hokkien to you, Le Ho Se Bo, Apa Khaba. I hope everyone is safe and well. Thank you, Pastor Alvin, for the privilege and honor to just share the word on this Sunday, under very challenging and very, maybe for some people, difficult, but I think it is amazing circumstance. It is always a joy to be in the fellowship and partnership with all of you in Fettes Park Baptist Church in the work of the Lord. I should say, welcome to the church in our homes. It is like the book of Acts. That's what happened to them. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, verse 46, daily, not only they met in the temple, but they also met in their homes, breaking bread. And Paul, writing to different churches, sometimes refer like this, greet Nympha in Colossians 4, 5, and the church that meets in the house. And another couple, very dear to Paul's heart, Priscilla and Aquila. He says, greet them in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. And then he says, and also the church in the house. I pray that as we gather in this manner, I do not know what's the condition of your own mind and heart and spirit. But I thought maybe I should just pray first with those who may be very troubled because of the situation. We are already into the 82nd day of our MCO, CMCO, and lockdown. Let me just pray, even as we pause, to remember the words of the psalmist. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. We are in a very critical situation. Father, I just pray for those who are going through loss, even loss of loved ones because of COVID-19, uncertain future. I know that there is an increase in mental, emotional stress, much worries due to isolation, for some people, eviction because they cannot pay their rent. Some are going through tough situation because they are grieving, because they cannot even say goodbye to those who have passed away. And some are sick and maybe critical. Lord, we just want to pray that you hear us even in this time of situation. For those who are tense, maybe even estranged relationship at home because of close proximity and many hours spending together in the families due to maybe economic, financial, and even relational difficulties. Lord, we're going to pray for them that you bring reconciliation, you bring restoration. For some who have lost hope, for some who are fearful of what the future will hold, Lord, I want to just pray that you will not only comfort them, grant to them strength to face every fearful situation. We want to draw near to you at this time, Lord. And we trust that even as we draw near to you, you are the one who will help us in every time of need. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, but even as we go through seeming difficult circumstances, church, our posture of celebration today must still be one of praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. In verse 4 he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I believe we have every reason to thank God for, even though today we don't see so clearly. But we need to thank God for the privilege that we can still worship him. Thank God for safety and protection and provision. Thank God for the improving situation in our country concerning COVID-19. Thank God that we have the privilege to meet together in this manner. And Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forget to meet together. And we are now doing it this way. What a fresh, unusual way and unusual season to look forward to. I hope you are looking forward to this unusual but new season. What more with the season of Pentecost as we just celebrated last weekend? But really, it is not just a weekend. Every day is Pentecost when there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to encourage, to challenge us as we continue to ponder on what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in the book of Acts is all about for us today. How does it affect, how does it help us for such a time like this? We need the sons of Issachar, as recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. These were fighting men, people who really were really skillful in fighting. They fought together with David. But the Bible tells us that the sons of Issachar, or the men of Issachar, were men who had great insight, and they knew what Israel should do because they knew the season. We need to seek the Lord to know the season for this present time. Last week, Pastor Jeremy shared with you on this whole understanding that what is the mission of the church, as he alluded into Acts chapter 2. The mission of the church, with the Holy Spirit empowering them, is to save people and to grow people. I pray that you catch that even as he shared with us with such great passion. It cannot be the same again. I remember him saying, we cannot go back to the normal. He says that he used a very digital term. He said, we need to reset the button. And I believe that the church needs to think through that. Pentecost is also like that. It is to reset the button that was the seeming normal. But now, in the transition, God has made a transformation. Because why? God is in the business of transformation. As I was preparing this message for this church, for you, my beloved brethren in Christ, the Lord gave me this verse, these two verses. I believe it is pointed even as you look into these two verses. And if you have Bibles, you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. The word of the Lord is like this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I'm making a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland. Wow, what a word in season. Yeah. If we are held back by COVID-19, we miss the point of what God is going to say to you and to me. See, I'm doing a new thing. It may not be the new thing that you can see. It may not be the new thing that you expect. But God is doing something that will help you to see, not with your own eyes, but with your spiritual eyes from your heart. Question. Are we ready for this breakthrough and outpouring that will come with new challenges? It's a new thing. It's a new day. It is transition that will lead to transformation. Are we ready when God is giving you these words? You know, as I was pondering over this question, I just sense that if you as a church are meeting in 30, 40 different homes, we're actually seeing a new thing now. Why? Because in the pipeline of God's plan for planting churches, this to me will be the church planting movement of this season. More than anything else, we're not going to meet in a big place anymore. But praise God, we can be witnesses in different localities at the same time, worshiping the Lord, having pre-believers join in, having seekers join in, having the backsliders join in, having our extended family join in. Wow! Isn't that so relevant like the early church? I pray that you will begin to understand that you and I will be the church in the community, really in the community. We will be the community that will see the community in our church, because that's what happened during the book of Acts. It says that in the early church, after so many things have happened, and if you remember, Pastor Jeremy also reminded you that. And in verse 47 of chapter 2, it says that they were praising God. They were so amazingly joyful. And then it also says that they also enjoyed the favor of all people. But I like the last part of this verse. It says, the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. Don't you like to see all these 50, maybe different families and different localities on the island in Penang, and see God at work? Wow, what a new season. What a new transformation in the midst of difficult situation like COVID-19. Let us turn to Acts chapter 2. And we want to read verse 1 to 4 as to bring us to the drama and the amazing things that God has done during the time of Pentecost. In verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow. Verse 2 says, suddenly. Yeah. If they were not expecting it, it is suddenly. But if they were expecting it, it is a suddenly surprise. But you know, I want to say to you, actually, in God's timing and economy, it is not a suddenly, even though recorded by Luke. Because this was already prophesied as Peter would stand up in a whole big group of people and told them, do you know the prophet Joel prophesied this? He said that God says he will pour out his spirit after the people have they don't rend their clothes, they rend their hearts, repent. And now this is what God is going to do. He's going to outpour his spirit on all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will have visions. Old men or old people will dream dreams. Even on everyone, the servants, male and female, they will prophesy. And in verse 21 of Joel, quoted in Acts chapter 2, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. What a Pentecost of change and transformation. Pentecost is basically 7 weeks of harvest and now culminating in the festival which everybody will crowd in Jerusalem. It's called the Festival of Harvest, Festival of Grains, Festival of Weeks, because it's 7 weeks after, 49 days, and then 50th day. And really, people just come and present their first fruit to the Lord. And they are so happy. And it included everyone from all the different locations in the region of that time. But you know, that Pentecost is just only a crop harvest. But the real Pentecost is what God is going to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Little do they realize that there will be another amazing harvest of souls about to take place with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Would you believe that this can happen in your church as we wait? You know, when Jesus called Andrew and Simon, he called them, say, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I believe that if Andrew, not if, because Andrew and Peter, the one speaking, were there, suddenly they realized the reality of Jesus' words. 3,000. We are talking about maybe, you know, if it is 30% of the congregation, that's a lot. 3,000 accepted and believed. Probably there were more than 3,000 people. 10,000 people. Peter said these very words after he preached that message, and they all were cut to the heart, and they say, oh, what must we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. In verse 38, Peter said, repent, be baptized, and receive the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 39, this is what he said. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. In other words, included everybody going to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say to you, Pentecost begins with a promise. A promise to be filled on a very specific day called Pentecost. But Jesus prepared them for Pentecost, even though the disciples didn't even realize it. He lived that Pentecost in his life. The Bible tells us Jesus was born of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the angel tell Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that's how Jesus came into this world. Limited himself, but having an amazing mission to fulfill. He was baptized. And the Father in heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Baptized in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then, filled with power, what did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert to battle Satan, to battle all the things that he's going to do, which he's already doing among sinners like us. But he was not able to overcome Jesus in every way because Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, he returned, not only returned strong after 40 days of fast and prayer, he returned in victory. And the scripture tells us the devil left him, hoping for another time, opportune moment in verse 13, to come and attack him. But we read when Jesus came into the temple, he was invited to read the scriptures. And what did he read? In Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, and also for those who are oppressed, they are going to be released and delivered and set free. And yet, in that time, we read, he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so in their state, as they were listening to what Jesus was saying, and Jesus said, today, these words are fulfilled. Immediately, he had opposition. But it's okay, because he was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as he took them along for almost 3.5 years, in between almost the last part, before he was arrested, Jesus taught them. His preparation was from life, but his preparation also was from teaching. Jesus taught them, and you can read it in John chapter 14 and verse 16. He told, I'm going to ask the Father to send you a comforter. And what is he going to do? He's going to be in you and with you forever. In chapter 14, verse 16. And not only that, he's the Spirit of truth. So he will tell everything about me. He will teach you everything that I've taught you. He will remind you everything I've taught you. He will convict you of sin and judgment and righteousness. What else would he do? He will also do things that you never imagined would happen, because he's going to reveal what is to come as he will guide you by his word. And so Jesus actually taught them. They also saw a kind of on-site event. There was a man who came to see Jesus, very learned man called Nicodemus. And then he couldn't understand, even though when Jesus was talking to him. And then Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is of the flesh is of the flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, as we begin to understand this, Jesus taught them, prepared them for Pentecost. The promise is to be fulfilled at Pentecost, but they needed to understand it. And actually, they didn't really understand it. Because when Jesus was arrested, when Jesus was crucified, they all fled. One betrayed him, others ran away, one denied him vehemently. So when Jesus fulfilled his mission of dying, of being buried, and of rising from the dead, now is to consolidate. And the preparation of consolidation was in the 40 days that he spent with those who were already confused, uncertain. They are leaderless. They don't know where to go, how to go about what Jesus had been talking. They couldn't handle the truth. Maybe was there an overload? I don't know. But that's how they were sensing. Remember the group that met in John chapter 20 and in verse 19? They said they locked the doors. They were afraid the people would come and do harm to them, arrest them. And before they realized it, Jesus went through the wall and came. They all were shocked. They thought he was a ghost. Like sometimes I do say, you know, if they were Malays or Malaysians, they were hantu. And then the Lord would say, no, bukan hantu, Tuhan. You see, and then he says, my peace be with you. And in verse 22, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. So when they prepared them, and so the final part was in Jerusalem. Before his ascension, he says, he gathered them and he told them this. Look, I must remind you this, that there's a promise that needed to be fulfilled. What must you do? Duduk diam-diam in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. In chapter 1, verse 5 of Acts, he says that. You wait for that gift that the Father will give to you. Did they understand? Not really. But you know, their hearts were already prepared. This is a final lap of preparation, the discipleship. So, when Jesus ascended, what do we read in verse 14? They went back after the ascension. They went to their homes and they waited in Jerusalem. Nobody went, move out or went other places. And they waited, number one, in prayer. Number two, in unity. Number three, seeking the Holy Spirit to guide them, especially for a replacement for Judas. They already recognize that something is going to happen. And so, as the passage that we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, to 4. The promise was being fulfilled. When the Holy Spirit suddenly came like the wind. When the Holy Spirit came suddenly, like tongues of fire rested on their head. When the Holy Spirit came and caused them to speak in amazing language that amazed all the listeners, because they thought, how come we can understand what they're talking about in our language? And I think that that's so amazing, because why? Jesus told them ahead of time. You know what? He says in verse 8, which all of us need to memorize in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in where? In Jerusalem. Where else? In all of Judea. Where else? In Samaria. And where else? To the ends of the earth. I'm saying to you, church, at that point in time, the gathering of people from different nations and different language groups were there, including the Arabs. And they heard this amazing word that different ones were speaking during that Pentecost. And I want to just tell you, that's what it is. If it is a promise to be fulfilled at Pentecost, it is a power to receive at Pentecost. To see God at work. Not them. They don't have the power. They need the power to be witnesses. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, and they begin to speak in other tongues. So that was the immediate result. Firstly, they heard what happened. Secondly, they saw what happened. Thirdly, they spoke what did take place in the hearing and the seeing. There was the hearing part. There was the seeing part. And there is a speaking part. Sound, sight, and speech all wrap up together to bring an amazing message that Peter would stand up and speak so boldly. Which, he was a coward. He denied Jesus 3 times. Restored by Jesus in John chapter 21. Now stand before everybody, boldly filled with the Holy Spirit, and begin to preach an amazing message that cut the listeners to the heart. He was bold because the Holy Spirit gave the courage. His mind was opened by the Holy Spirit so that he could bring scriptures just across. After all, who was he? Just a fisherman. And what else? Now, bringing the convicting word that brought 3,000 people to come to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. Wow. Be filled with the Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. And do the things that the Spirit will ask you to do. Because then only we will realize the effect of Pentecost. What has this to do with us in COVID-19? Everything. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to understand why God, COVID-19. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what will be out of the ordinary and out of a comfort zone, to do things that you never imagined you would be doing. Like even me now speaking to you in this way. You know, we have this place in our church. We do food distribution for the marginalized. I've never seen so many people. Like your church, we are close. But you know, someone commented, there's never been so many pre-believers coming to church for this whole season. And not only that, so open to be connected. Only God can do that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does it say? You shall be my witnesses. That's the proclamation part, which Jesus also came in ministry to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's what you and I are being asked to do even in COVID-19. Wow, I'm amazed that we should be looking beyond, not just ourselves, because proclamation is a response to being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You shall be my witnesses. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching. They never stopped proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Christ. At one time, they were told, you should stop speaking about Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 14, these guys meeting the leaders of the temple, they said this way. He says, judge for yourself. What do you think is the right thing to do? In God's sight, to obey you or to obey God? But they made something, they made a statement which was even more amazing. Because he says like this, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And this is not only about the Holy Spirit. It's really empowered by the Holy Spirit of remembering what they have seen, what Jesus has done. They have heard what Jesus has done. And now they are doing the Jesus thing right in the very presence of these people. Wow. With passion, they proclaim. They never stop. With boldness, they identified with Jesus. When they were told, don't speak, they went back to pray and they asked the Lord, God, these people, they are threatening us in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And then they say, give us greater boldness to proclaim. What? Instead of saying, protect us and so on. No, that's not the issue, because they are being protected. In another part, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, he says, you know, we'll rather obey God than men. Are they just being rebellious? No, because filled with a passion that people need to be saved. Like what Pastor Jeremy said, the mission of the church is to save people. But now the mission of the church is also to grow the people so that they will know how to save people, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the test is in their resilience. The test is in their endurance. The test is in how they will face the new challenges, even though it is difficult. I remember Hudson Taylor, when he was interviewed, and because he went through a tough situation setting up the China Inland Mission, working among Chinese in those early times, it was tough. He lost his wife, he lost his family. It was very dismal kind of thing. And he was asked this question, you know, how do you find the mission of God that you are doing? And this is what he said. It is impossible. It is difficult. But it is done. And who can do that? Only the Holy Spirit. Would you allow COVID-19 as a kind of a watershed, as a benchmark for you to move further ahead as a church? I want to say to you, like the disciples, you know, when they were flocked in chapter 5, verse 41, after they were flocked, they came out. You know what they were doing? They were smiling, they were rejoicing. That's what the scripture told. All right? Rejoicing because why? They have been called, they are so worthy to be counted, to suffer, worthy to suffer this disgrace because of the name of Jesus. To me, that's what the outpouring and breakthrough is all about. For you, church, Fettes Park Baptist Church, it's not going to be the same again, because the transition leads to transformation. Question is whether you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, even you are going to difficult situation. Let's overcome it. Because seven times, the Lord told the seven churches, he who overcomes, he who overcomes. COVID-19 is for us to overcome. I shared during Easter to my church, I said, COVID as an acronym stands for confusion, stands for crisis for many of us. And it is overwhelming. Sudden loss. Sudden cut off. It is not only just overwhelming. It is isolation. We cannot congregate. We cannot be socializing. It's so difficult. And for some, it's despair, disappointment, and even death. But I want to say to you, the V in the middle of COVID is Jesus' victory. And that victory is for you, for me. He has overcome COVID-19. Why? Because the life that we live is that abundant life that Jesus gives to us. And so Paul, in encouraging the believers in Galatia, said this to them. Even as you are being filled, empowered to be witnesses, let us move by living by the Spirit, by being led by the Spirit, and keeping in step with the Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do what God wants us to do. And somebody puts it this way. He says, you know, just like a body that is without breath, it is not alive. It is a corpse. And a church, a believer without the Spirit cannot be alive. But if you are alive in the Spirit, how much alive are you? When God spoke to his people in the building of the temple in Jerusalem, in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, he says, give careful thought to your ways. Another version says, consider your ways. Let us once again let the wind of the Spirit move us. Let the fire of the Spirit consume us. Let us allow Him to cause things that will happen in our lives more than what we can understand by His cleansing and moving us to be the witness after His heart. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. In John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another version says, have it more abundantly. Question is, what has hindered and prevented you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? God wants to do a new thing. From being empowered to do His work, God wants to do a new work through you. From being an effective, good news proclaiming witness by word and by life. This morning, let the Holy Spirit search your heart. This morning, repent of the blockages in our lives that prevents the Holy Spirit from fully working in our lives so that we can experience streams of living water flowing from within us. Let us pray. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, streams in the wastelands. Are we ready for this breakthrough? Father, we thank you that the new thing and the new day you have given to us is so that we go through this transition. We are thankful that we can rest in you, but we're also thankful that you are choosing to empower us, to cause us to understand that you are in the process of transforming us. And we surrender ourselves to you. Like what Paul writing to the Romans said, I beseech you therefore, my brothers, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is the only pleasing offering in the pandemic COVID-19 situation where we look beyond what you will do. Thank you. You are such an amazing Lord and God for which we can trust in all situations. We thank you and ask that even as you have touched our hearts, we will respond to you as you speak to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Good.